You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I find it a little bit unnerving to go in 2 days' time from Christmas on Friday, when Jesus was in the manger, to Jesus 12 years old on Sunday morning. I realize that liturgy condenses time and does all kind of dramatic tricks, but for heaven's sake, we all know that kids grow up way too fast. But this is a bit hard to take, I think. But nevertheless, on the Feast of the Holy Family, every 3 years, we get this beautiful story in Luke's Gospel about Jesus at the age of 12 and this little incident that happened when they made their annual trip to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast day. Jesus, back in his time, went through the same thing that kids go through today, given the cultural differences. And I'm sure it unrattled Mary and Joseph to a certain extent when Jesus got out from under their control and had to deal with his playmates and his schoolmates and start moving around in the bigger world. Parents always have a problem with that. So anyway, we have this wonderful story about Jesus at the age of 12 being separated from his parents for 3 or 4 days at the end of this feast day celebration. I don't want to be irreverent, but I want to interpret this story a little bit. First of all, it's helpful to remember that these Gospels were written 10, 15 years after Jesus was raised from the dead as an adult. So we're talking a space of maybe 30, 35, 40 years between the actual event and when it actually came to be written down. And you know and I know that when stories get told orally and even in writing, they get better as they go. That's okay. It happens in the Bible too. We do know this much, I think, that after the resurrection and the Feast of Pentecost, we kind of think that Mary lived a pretty long life on this earth with the apostles, and they told stories. And so how did this get into the Bible? I suspect that when they're sitting around telling stories, one cold winter night when they didn't have anything else to do, Mary said, "Let me tell you about this time when Jesus was 12 years old. He did a very dumb thing." And I think that's the way it was. There were no eyewitnesses or secretaries or video cameras and everything else when Jesus was 12 years old. So we're depending on stories being told and kind of embellished as they got better with each telling. Did Jesus actually say he had to be in his father's house and all that? I don't know. We can all find out when we get to heaven. But I think what is historical here is that there was a memory that when Jesus was 12 years old, he got separated from his parents, and then after a little bit of anxiety, quite a bit as a matter of fact, they got it settled and returned back home to Nazareth. I like to think, if I were writing a story, that after they got back to Nazareth, Mary and Joseph sat him down and said, "Now look at here, Jesus, we're not going to have a rerun of this when you are 13. Do you understand?" And I think it's not disrespectful to think that the Son of God, being human as well as divine, as we were told in the final line of the gospel, he had to progress in wisdom and age and things like this. So you don't need to think that Jesus was all perfect at the age of 12. I think it's kind of neat to realize that he went through normal growing up and goofiness as every preteen and teenager must. So there you have it. The other scriptures we have tell us that on this Feast of the Holy Family, we have to try to imitate Mary and Joseph and Jesus and practice patience and love and all those other virtues that are put there before us. So I think there's a wonderful application that we can make for our own, but it's a little bit demanding if you really get it into your system. I think the only application we can make as we celebrate the Holy Family is to try to make it our mission to strengthen family life. Not only in our own individual families, but the very institution itself. Families, of course, as you go around the world and look through history, there's an endless variety of the forms that family life takes, and they're all okay. Some cultures have small families, parents and children. Other cultures have a tribal system or clans and extended families. It's all different ways of arranging the pieces on the board, but it's all family life. And it is centered in the nucleus, the mother, the father, and the children, who are the basic building blocks of society. Doesn't matter what culture you're in or what shape it takes, what the customs are, if the family itself is in danger, then all the other layers that you put on top of it, church and state and all of that, are in danger as well. So it's terribly important that we strengthen family identity in our own families and that we work to make it strong throughout our society. There are so many dangers to family life in this world. You don't want to go through the all depressing list of them all. But family life is under attack today, as it has been through most of history. Materialism, the media that seeps into our homes through 24 hours a day, through all kind of channels, the lack of modesty, social problems of every kind. As you all know, I work in prison ministry, and one of the spin-offs of that is when people go to prison, family life is disturbed. And sometimes it's ended forever. And so it's terribly important at all levels that we as families do something to make sure that this very important basic building block of all society survives even the onslaught of modernism. So we've got to do something about it. And I was thinking since Friday, as watching Jesus grow up too quickly, what should I suggest to you that we do? And I want to put it in the context of Pope Francis having declared that we are celebrating a Jubilee Year of Mercy. And you certainly know by now that Pope Francis has disturbed a lot of people by his going right to the heart of things. And I think we too have to do the same. It also occurred to me that in the next 4 or 5 days, we're going to have New Year's Day. And we, some of us anyway, are in the bad habit of making New Year's resolutions. You know and I know that we never keep them. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to visit my friends. And it doesn't take even a week into the new year, and you can't even remember what you resolved. So I'm going to suggest a different kind of a New Year's resolution to you this morning. And then you can do it if you think you're brave enough. I want to suggest that instead of individual New Year's resolutions, you do a family resolution. And that means you're going to have to get together like Mary and Joseph and Jesus did when they got back to Nazareth and see where we went wrong and what we might do to change our behavior. So I want to suggest that each of you as a family have a family meeting between now and next Friday and cook up a resolution or two, not for individuals, but for your family. And by the way, if you live by yourself, you are not excused. Have a meeting with yourself. This is for everybody. And I want to suggest that what we might do, we can take a signal from the scriptures and the values that are proclaimed to us. And the first one is called sanctuary. Starts with an S, sanctuary. It means a holy place. Sometimes we think it's only the center part of the church. But a sanctuary, as you know from reading about refugees, is any place where people are safe from evil and danger and everything else. And I want to suggest that the first of your two resolutions should be to make your home a sanctuary, to make it a holy place. And that means that you are in control of your home, that you post a guard at the door so that not just anybody and anything can get into your home and disturb the holiness that needs to be there. That takes a little doing these days, because evil comes into our homes mostly through the media, television and internet and all those kind of things. You don't even need to, it doesn't matter what kind of a security system you got. It'll sneak in anyway. So that's the first resolution. I think you should discuss as a family, how do we make this home a small church, a sanctuary, a place of holiness? And that means that you decorate and have good taste in art and everything else, and you don't just let anything and anybody come into your holy place. Sanctuary. The other value I want to suggest for your family New Year's resolution also starts with the letter S, and that is Sabbath. Also starts with an S. Sabbath, as we know, is what we practice when we come to church on Sunday, and we pray, and then we go home. But I think Sabbath means that we should be in control of our time as well, and that as a family, you should negotiate. Don't just think that everybody's going to get it because you want them to. You should sit down like Mary and Joseph and Jesus did and plan how you're going to spend your time. And you might even think of finding the off button on some of your electronic gizmos and having some quiet time for conversation and prayer in your home. Everybody can be as clever and as creative as you want to be. But I think individual New Year's resolutions are pretty well hopeless. And I want to suggest that maybe during this holy year, if you can remember to do it, and if you got enough nerve to get together, because let's face it, Jesus wasn't too much smarter when he got to be 13 than he was at 12. And we all have challenges. And we have to challenge and patrol our spaces and our times and really work at it. So do that if you can. Have a meeting. Make a resolution to have a holy place and a holy time. Sabbath and sanctuary in your life. If you do that, then all these prayers we say about the Holy Family being a model for us will not just be a slogan, but will be a reality. And if we work at it hard enough, it might even change the rest of the world. May God give us the courage and the bravery to try it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.